Folks, I'm excited to have with us Jack and Faith. You're on the podcast. You've listened to Faith's interview, Faith Schwartz. She did a great job. And when I was talking with Faith, I said, who else do you respect as a leader out there? So I want to say, Faith, thank you so much for joining me on the microphone today.
Great to be here, David. Thank you.
So give us an introduction, Faith, to Jack and why it is that you felt it would be so appropriate to have him included on the Lincoln and Leadership podcast.
First of all, you know, Jack Karaszewski is a charismatic leader who stepped right into a great company, Dominion Bank Shares Mortgage Corporation, and years ago. Jack, what year was that?
I think it was either 82 or 83, Faith. 1982, 83.
I was a young mortgage banker working on the secondary marketing department, but Jack joined, and one of the first, he wanted everyone to succeed in whatever their roles were. And what was unique about Jack was he'd pull people together and put us in a room together once a week to talk about our activities, our metrics, our reports, and force us to kind of learn the business together, hear about each other's issues, help each other solve them. And then if there was tension in the room, we'd go to dinner together. So he kind of had to
get together.
And when I think about how I learned the business and earned my right to talk about it in a deeper way, it's because of almost that forced learning of every aspect of the mortgage business so that we all became quite strong in that. And as such, he grew a team of leaders that were well known throughout the industry for years. And he was also fun. So, Jack, it's great to be on with you. And this is about you, but I'll weigh in when I can.
Thank you, Faith. It's very nice comments.
We're glad to have you here, Jack. And so, and I think I want to make sure we're pronouncing your last name. It's Karaszewski, and that we have that there properly introduced. So, Jack, I'm really interested in learning more about you and your background, how you got into the industry. So let's start there. Let our audience get to know you a little bit before we start talking about leadership. So how is it that you got in the industry? Was it intentional or accidental, like so many of us?
You know, it was probably accidental. I started in the management training program of a very large thrift in Buffalo, New York called Gold Dome. And in the management training program, they take you through a rotation of various areas. And then I was placed in the branch banking, and I said, I just don't see where this is going to really enhance my career. And I had a mentor at Gold Dome, and we chatted about where I can enhance my career in a way that I'm really learning something tangible, something exciting, something that will be lasting. And he recommended the mortgage division at Gold Dome. So I looked into that, and we talked about it a little bit with my mentor. And I saw that Gold Dome was doing a lot of business with mortgage bankers throughout the country. New York State had the old usury laws where you could not exceed a certain interest rate on your mortgages. And that's how mortgage banking started, where these huge thrifts went outside of their states and purchased mortgage loans from mortgage bankers in North Carolina, Texas, Arizona. I was really intrigued by that. And I said, and there were other aspects of it too. There wasn't just the mortgage banking aspect, but I liked the origination of loans, and we did that in the Buffalo area. So I tossed my hat in the ring, and I said, I would love to do this. And so right off the bat, I got transferred to the mortgage division and became a loan officer at Gold Dome, calling on realtors and builders in the Buffalo area. And that's how my career started there as a loan officer. And then I worked my way up through various departments at Gold Dome. I became assistant manager of the production staff. Then they switched me into the servicing department, of which I looked at servicing, and again, that was a mortgage banking function, because the servicing of mortgage loans is very, very profitable. And if you had economies of scale and you had a lot of units coming through, you could do extremely well. I looked at that and looked what other mortgage bankers were doing, and Gold Dome was the first thrift to bring in probably one of the most robust servicing systems in the country. It was called CPI out of Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, yeah?
And I led the group to bring CPI in the Gold Dome. And then I was promoted out of that servicing area and ran both servicing and production. And so what I really did was kind of set the stage for Gold Dome to enter the mortgage banking world at that time. And I had great people running.
What year was that again?
That was probably in the mid-70s.
Good.
And then that was going on in probably mid-70s, 79, 80. And then we bought a mortgage company in Washington, D.C. We had a new chairman at Gold Dome. His name was Ross Kenzie. He came from Merrill Lynch. Merrill Lynch was doing a lot of vertical integration at that time. And Ross Kenzie, we bought sub-franchises of Realty World. We bought a mortgage company in Washington, D.C., and the mortgage company in D.C. was called the Steed Mortgage Company. And they looked for somebody who had knowledge and expertise of how Gold Dome operated to make that transition for the mortgage company very smooth. They sent me to Washington, D.C. I thought I was going to be there for a year. I brought a check with me to pay Bill Steed for his mortgage company. And then on the way there, I found out that the mortgage company was being sued by the MBA of America for improper practices, and it was kind of touch and go for a while. But I did meet with the MBA attorney. His name was Bill McFarland at the time.
Yeah, and, McFarland, yeah, that's right. That's back then. Long time ago.
Unfortunately, I think he passed away within the year, this year or maybe last year, and worked with Bill to get that lawsuit out of the way, and we fixed a lot of things, and that's how Gold Dome got started in the mortgage business in Washington, D.C. We had displaced the president, Bill Steed, and I became president of Steed Mortgage Company, a subsidiary of Gold Dome Bank. So I know that was a little long, but that's a little bit of my journey.
That's a good journey. You've been at Dominion Bank Shares, you've been at PNC, you've been at Citizens Mortgage, Old Kent Mortgage. So you've got a distinguished career. And one of the things that I was impressed when I was talking to Faith about who we should be interviewing for leadership, she told me about how you develop people. So let's get into talking about what Jack's definition is for leadership. How do you define leadership, Jack?
Leadership is a coach, somebody who always says it's we and not I, somebody that develops people, that can have the ability to give credit to others and not take credit themselves. Somebody that really generates enthusiasm. It's a tough business. It can be a tough business. You know, when it's great, it's great. And when interest rates rise and there's pricing wars and so forth, things get pretty tough. And, you know, sometimes management teams don't get along too well. But I think we had a really good bond where we really understood each other. And we all came from different personalities, different schools of thought. But I felt that I would never wanted to surround myself with people that said yes. I wanted to always have people that would challenge me, challenge our team, somebody that had different ideas, and take it from there. But once we agreed on something, we were all in 100%. And that's what I really think a real leader is, you know, as opposed to a boss who demands, takes credit, says it's all about I, issues ultimatums. I would never work for a boss like that. I would always wanted to work for a leader.
Well, let's talk about some of the leaders that have inspired you.
Well, there's two names that really come to mind, pretty much both at Gold Dome, and then another one was at Old Kent, but I'd have to give a lot of credit to Kevin O'Neill. Kevin O'Neill was the chairman of Gold Dome Realty Credit and one of the finest individuals that you'll ever meet.
Guy.
Kevin really gave you a lot of rope. And he trusted you, and, you know, he developed your goals and objectives for the year, what you were going to do, and, you know, there was accountability for it. But he really had trust and confidence in you that you would do it. And so you felt while you were working for a financial institution, you really felt that there was an entrepreneurial spirit with it. And those companies like Gold Dome, like Dominion Bank Shares Mortgage, like Old Kent, I mean, these were companies that really had an entrepreneurial spirit and well-managed and did very well in the mortgage banking industry.
Yeah, I was going to say, define an entrepreneurial spirit. We hear that term used a lot, but it's entrepreneurial when you need these larger organizations. Describe what you're talking about there. Put some meat on that.
Well, you know, for instance, Dominion Bank Shares Mortgage, when I came to Dominion, and Faith, tell me if I'm wrong, you were in the shipping department, weren't you?
I was in the shipping department, but I can add to where that entrepreneurial spirit came. I was trading securities when you came in because Gene Merrill, I had asked him if I could. It was before you became president. And you know, we were a small company and growing fast, so he allowed me to do it after a while. But when you came in, Jack, you said, Faith, I want to buy loans from other banks. I want to buy good loans. I want to grow fast, and we can't do it through retail. I want you to go spend a week up in Gold Dome with Tom who used to work for you and learn everything you can about the wholesale purchase business. Not only did Jack send me to Buffalo for a week, but I came back and ran our wholesale purchase program, which became 50% of the production of Dominion Bank shares.
Wow.
And Jack, you just let me do it. You just let me, I looked at contracts, I worked on pricing with Alta Jones, but like you didn't get in the middle of it as much as you said, just do it. They're successful at it. We can be successful at it. We've got a great, risk management approach, but let's get out there. And we became one of the biggest buyers of mortgages in the country in no time.
I think that also speaks to Jack, to the leadership above, is it sounds like they gave you the rope to do things, but in implementing, one thing is to have the rope to do it, but you can also, we watch many hanging themselves with some of the rope that's out there. How did you avoid that? How did you develop a leadership team that avoided hanging themselves with the rope that was given?
You know, I think a lot of it was trying to get to know your people, selecting your people, and looking into them and just saying, do I trust this person to do this job? You know, you just get to know the person as an individual. And just like Faith said, I mean, I would know right away from feedback that I got from the people of my former employer whether this person was going to be able to do this or not. And so the entrepreneurial side of it was taking a company like Dominion Bank Shares, which was basically retail, into wholesale broker and to wholesale correspondent. Right, Faith? We did correspondent.
Yeah, no, it was smart because we got to hedge a little bit when you had cycles. We became the go-to lender. We evolved it into wholesale table-funded production, too. So we did co-issue securitizations. I mean, we were in every aspect of wholesale lending, which, Jack, I don't know if you remember. I remember managing from that the MBA's wholesale committee. That's how
right.
I got quite active. The MBA, but to bring up issues around that part of the business to the leading trade association. So it put us outwardly looking instead of an insular company, and I think it helps the company to understand all the channels, cost metrics, and how to execute. So, you know, for me, I think it gave me a lot of confidence on being good at this business.
Absolutely. And how good is that, feeling really great about what you did and what you brought to the table? And we took Dominion Bank shares from really a kind of a smaller regional player in the mid-Atlantic to it. I think we were 16th or 17th mortgage banker in the country. And not only that,
tremendous.
We grew our servicing portfolio through the wholesale and correspondent channel. And it also gave us, when earnings were a little tough, we also gave us the ability to servicing we felt may not have been servicing we wanted to keep forever, but that enhanced our earnings. And at that time, you could make really good money on the wholesale broker side. It's a little difficult today, the way the pricing is. But truly, we built servicing. We were a top production company in all phases. And that was what I wanted to do. And I found the people to do it.
One thing I would add is I felt like you gave people a chance to shine. And I tried to emulate that and not prejudge. A lot of the people that were at Dominion were there when you took on the presidency. You could have brought in a lot of your own people. You did bring in some. We needed a good IT guy. You brought in Andy Josiaro.
Oh, good friend, yes.
You worked with everyone that was there and saw the talents and tapped them and got them to be better. That's a skill, and a lot of people don't do that.
You know, everybody has their strengths and weaknesses, but what you also needed to run a mortgage company were people very good on the financial side. And we happen to have Larry Hamilton and Alta Jones.
Yes.
Very, very strong people. And then on top of that, we were doing some business with Jim Cameron at Strathmore, and because we wanted to see how we looked versus the benchmarking is huge. And so we would benchmark our organization versus other organizations. And our goal was never to be average. We wanted to be one of the best. We wanted to be top tier in almost everything. And that exercise made us even better. And that really was under the leadership of Larry and Alta, making suggestions on how we can take our operation, streamline it, do better in other aspects. You know, when you look at the numbers and you see, okay, why is a company better than we are in this area? We just attacked it and made our recommendations that we can do this. And the most important thing in any company is taking something and executing, whether it's
right.
a CEO, the CFO. Execution's important even with loan officers. You take an average loan officer, you look at a top loan officer. Why is the top loan officer so good at what he does? Because they execute the same thing every day, while the person that's average or below average doesn't do it. And you scratch your head and you say, why not? Don't they want to be better? And you know that.
Well, I think coaching goes into this, and you talked about leadership and you talked about coaching and how you enjoy developing people. That's what you're doing there at Zenix. And I want to get into that. But first of all, you talked about identifying leadership. I remember Andy Jazario. I was chairing the Echo 1 Applications and Oversight Committee at the time for the MBA, and Andy showed up, and that's when I first started hearing about your leadership style. He spoke very kindly and admirably about your leadership and how you wanted to be on the forefront of things. But how did you find these people? Well, I mean, I think I look at companies and executives that I'm coaching and that I'm consulting to now, and I think that's the biggest thing they struggle with is recognizing that leader. When you have all these resumes in front of you, what was the one or two things that you said, I've got to have in a leader that I want working in my organization?
Well, you really want to look at people who are aggressive, are driven to succeed, people that you feel have the mental capabilities to make that happen. Andy was really, I would call for want of a better word, he was kind of a sleeper. He came in and I knew he had background in technology. He had a great background in appraisals. He was doing appraisals and appraisal software for us at Gold Dome. He was into a lot of things.
Yes, he was.
And he was able to channel that into developing a pretty good IT team at our organization. And then he went on to Freddie Mac and did a great job at Freddie Mac. But, you know,
a lot of that came out of that committee we were doing because he actually created, suggested the X.12 standard. All of that that led to the MISPO standards. And that was, I don't know if you knew this, but I was chairman of the committee and I listened to all these discussions going on. And I recognized something about his quiet sleeper confidence. I like that term because you could underestimate him if you didn't listen. And when you found out what he was thinking, and we put Andy at the top of the speaking platform within our committees because he was coming up with all these really innovative ideas. I mean, I really credit Andy Jazario for the standards that we have in the industry right now, the data standards. It started in that committee, and it started with the conversations that Andy had. So kudos to you, Andy, for if you're listening to this. Let's start looking at the industry from your perspective today. We'll talk briefly about what you're doing at Zenix. You've been doing it there for a while, and it's based on a passion for developing leaders. So there's probably no one better we could have on this. You teach on this. Talk about that.
Well, yes, I've been at Zenix 12 years, and one of the reasons I came to Zenix probably at one of the worst times in the mortgage banking world was 2000 and I think it was 2007, and of course everything was collapsing. We thought the entire financial services industry was in collapse, plus other areas. And my idea to come to Zenix was, what I really love is really training and development of people. I felt that the mortgage industry really has done a bad job over the last maybe 8 to 10 years of really developing leaders. You know, it's amazing how they talk about loan officers and loan officers' lack of performance and low performers, average performers. And I look at that and I said, I've read a lot of John Maxwell books, and I know that everything rises and falls with leadership. It all starts with leadership. Why are we putting people in positions that where they're not going to succeed? Why are we making those decisions? What are we doing with these people? Are we developing them to the best that they can succeed? Is the mortgage business really putting in younger salespeople into the industry? Or we still have people in their 50s that are struggling to understand how to originate a loan today while, you know, they have no idea how to work with social media and all of the technology changes. The industry needs to do something quickly in bringing younger people into the industry and to take them, develop them into leaders to become the best leaders that they can be.
Is that the biggest issue? One of the biggest issues you see facing our industry right now is raising up leadership?
It truly starts with leadership. You know, and over the last 9 or 10 years, David, this mortgage industry has been insulated by refinances. And it changed last year. It changed the second half of last year. It's not that we didn't see this coming. Everybody was calling for it. It's just that people maybe weren't as prepared as they should have been for this. And that's what's frustrating, because if you see the train coming, you better do something about it. And I think what most people in the industry forgot is that mortgage banking is very cyclical. It's a very cyclical business when you look at the take a bell curve of earnings. Earnings are usually very light in the first quarter, picks up in the second and third, and tails off in the fourth. Should be no surprise, but that's the way it was before all those refinances occurred 10 years previous. And so you had to manage differently. You had to manage your expenses differently. And a lot of things they let out of control certainly was, one of the big ones was, is really compensation. And yes, we have a high fixed cost, and part of that is compensation, but we really haven't done a good job of really taking technology and making it work to our advantage. And,
and technology is coming on at such a rapid rate now that if you're not adapted to that, this thing is going to pass many by very quickly. But leadership is going to be remaining, and I want to get some real insights into what you would advise someone to in this world, in today's world. What are the things that you say are the most important attributes of leadership that needs to be there, and especially companies that you're consulting to and coaching right now? What are some of the attributes of the leaders today that might be different than what the attributes were back when you were president and CEO of some of these large, successful companies?
Well, here's what I look at today, you know, and you talk to any CEO or production manager, it all starts with production. That has to start with revenue. And when you start with revenue, you look at what are the four things that are going to generate revenue for me as a CEO or production manager. Number one, you have to take your existing people, loan officers, people that produce revenue, and make them better. They need to produce more
right.
units. Number two, they really have to recruit. Recruit people that will bring on production that will be profitable for the organization. Number three, consider, even in this market, hiring some rookies, bringing new blood into the industry. And then the fourth is buying an entity, and there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of talks going on. Those are the only four ways, as a leader, that you can really, if you really concentrate on the revenue side, to push the revenue meter. And I think that with that production, I think you really have to create, I call, superstar sales managers. You know, and I'm not talking about, I watch people, I ask sales managers or regional managers, what do you do? Well, I manage policy, I review reports, I approve expenses. They're kind of sitting at their desk, and they're, instead of being mentors to their salespeople, what do I call them? They're tormentors, you know?
Tormentors, yeah, that's good.
They really need to change those activities, and they really have to spend the majority of their time positioning their people to win. Their focus should be really on account strategy,
mm-hmm.
managing the pipeline, training people, mentoring, and coaching. You know, it's kind of what we do at the company I'm at, Zenix. We're training accountability and coaching. That's exactly what a superstar, and I call a superstar sales manager, needs to be doing with their people. And once you do that and you get in with them, and you can take that, and Faith talked about me as a leader. Well, I did that in a higher level area where I got in with our people. We talked about, you know, what we needed to do. We talked about training and coaching and account strategy and how you're going to get to where you're going to get. This is kind of what we have to do today. And the other part we got to work on is, you know, in sales, you have your normal bell curve. You have low performers, you have top performers, and in the middle is the group, the middle tier, because top performers are usually 10%. Low performers are probably maybe 10, 15%. And there you got the middle. And if you talk to any mortgage company today, they'll tell you, if I can move the middle from 3 units to 5 units, from 5 units to 7 units, it's a home run. But top performers today isn't a home run, because they really have put together compensation plans and costs with these people where they don't make a lot of money on top performers. That doesn't move the needle.
Where do you see this going? I mean, it's the single biggest line item on everyone's expenses is loan officer compensation. Where do you see this going?
Well, a recent MBA study came out. Well, they informally came out and discussed it at the midwinter, but $4,500 per loan to loan officers, $8,900 on total cost of origination on the latest survey.
Yeah.
Yep. Over half.
I think a big help would be if the Consumer Finance Protection Board can do some of the things that the MBA and some of the executives ask them to look at, you know, in compensation and how you compensate loan officers. One is the fact that I do think that if a loan officer makes a mistake in pricing, the company shouldn't take the majority of that expense. I think he has to be responsible for mistakes. This should be taken out of his commission. That's the way it used to be. It's not like that anymore. You originate a loan, you get paid for it. You make a mistake, sorry, you don't pay for that mistake. I think there's other things, too, that companies need to look at is tiers. I think you have to look at tiers and have a tiered structure in compensation. And that, for some people, that would because a lot of them would just pay a flat rate across the board. I do like tiers. I think you have to adjust tiers time to time, just based on the market, higher balance loans and so forth. So there's a lot of work to be done that, but nobody wants to be the first. People can tweak it. I think some of the expenses that have gone into what companies will cover, like loan officer assistance, things like that, I think companies are cutting back on that. And that's a tough decision with top producers. But, you know, you have to do little things. In mortgage banking, it's usually, I call it, if you do the singles and doubles correctly, the better numbers will come. You're not going to hit a home run in anything. You just have to do probably 5 to 7 things better and keep cutting into that. And secondary marketing, you know, it's another thing, is how do you price? And, you know, what kind of price do you put out there? And what's the best execution you can get in today's market? And so there's a lot of pressure in the secondary marketing side. You know, who to sell loans to and what hedging strategies. So, you know, there's a lot of factors here.
What are some of the resources that you're recommending leaders or future leaders, people aspiring to be a leader, read or avail themselves to?
I really love John Maxwell's books on leadership. I think those really
so good. Yeah.
That's excellent.
5 Levels of Leadership is one of my favorite books that he's had. I think it does a good job of really encapsulating the various levels. That's a great resource. What are some other resources out there?
You know, I think to really help you, I mean, I think you really need to join, if you haven't joined the MBA and active in MBA committees where you get to meet people and share ideas. And pardon me?
Get a CMB, a Certified Mortgage Bankers designation. I mean, starting that journey will certainly help you. And it's not, I know a number of them that have taken that and become certified, and I would not call them good leaders. I think knowledge helps bring about leadership, will at least facilitate it. But leadership comes from a deep something from within that's there. And you've talked about it, but as we exit the interview today and our time together today, Jack, what are those things you're saying? It's good that you're getting the education. It's good you're doing all this. What's the one thing that you would say a future leader must possess?
The ability to hire people that are going to assist you in meeting your goals and objectives. Hire the right people. I can't emphasize that anymore. It's just make sure you hire the right people. Give them the ability to succeed. Give them the rope. Let them go. Hold them accountable. Have meetings with them weekly. But hire great people, and you will succeed.
Yes. Well, you've surrounded yourself with some outstanding people in your past with a great organization now. How can people get a hold of you?
Well, they can call me at 678-325-3503 or email me jack@zinnix.com.
Good. Excellent. Faith, thanks so much for joining me. Faith, you want to add anything to what we've talked about? And I'm so grateful that you introduced me to Jack and I've known of him. But what are your thoughts as we wrap up this interview?
Well, I think sometimes it's making hard decisions as a good leader, as I've said before. And sometimes you're not always popular when you do it, but you're doing it for the good of the organization. And those are tough things, too. So resilient people who are strong. I know I was, I'm guessing Jack always liked me because I was always an old athlete. He was an athlete. That was helpful. But, you know, you don't have to be. But, you know, being able to kind of stand for the right things and try to make it work for others, that's a hard thing. But I think it separates people from the pack a little bit, too. So, you know, rising.
Hey, do you realize that we had some of the best females in the mortgage industry at Dominion Ventures Mortgage?
We had a good group.
How about that?
You were going to mention that. Yeah, you had Empower going there. That's now been an important initiative. You had that going in a big way back in that day. You were a leader in that sense. That's outstanding.
So thank you for letting me join in today.
That was a joy having
you.
Appreciate both of you. You bet. I encourage you folks to share this interview with others and get a hold of Jack. And, of course, go back and listen to Faith's interview. It's one of those ones I just thoroughly enjoyed. I've gone and listened to it twice, and I'm just thrilled. I'm sure I'm going to listen to it a lot more. But thank you all for being a part of this podcast today, and look forward to having you back again soon. Thank you.